on a Tuesday, hour number two off and running. Yes, Mike Vrabel spoke. Yes, the Titans have reported. We'll get to all that. Coach Mack is going to join us in less than 25 minutes now. We'll be talking Titans for a long, long segment with Coach Mack as they have reported and are ready to rock and roll. But this news out of New York, I know we got a lot of college baseball fans, a lot of Vandy baseball fans, a lot of people who are fans and admirers of Kamar Rocker. We caught this on Twitter in the break. The story just a few minutes old out of New York by Ken Coolwater by Davidoff. The Mets agreement with their first, and he's with the New York Post. The Mets agreement with their first round draft pick, Kamar Rocker, is in limbo after the team expressed concerns with the right-hander's pitching elbow during his physical examination. This is per the New York Post. Rocker's camp disagrees with these concerns, citing his durability at Vanderbilt. This has led to a stalemate. They have until Sunday at 5 o'clock. That's the signing deadline to either get it done or move on. He was the 10th overall pick. And, Blaine, I think we were all like, how in this world did this guy last until the 10th pick? I mean, think about it. He was the top 10 pick. He was number 10, and people were still saying, that's crazy. We thought he'd go earlier. They had agreed to a $6 million signing bonus pending a physical. So here's, as you heard in Lucas Panzeca's update, they could sign off on a smaller amount. They could part ways altogether. They could move forward with the original deal if the Mets think he's worth the risk. And if they can't reach an agreement, he could come back to Vanderbilt for a senior year. And it's not inconceivable. He could pitch his way into the top five or the top three. And he could make money on his name, image, and likeness. Now, if he came back to Vandy, he could get unlimited money from that. So unless the rules change through the upcoming basic agreement, the current one expires on December 1st, the Mets would get a makeup pick next year behind the 10th worst club if an agreement cannot be reached. But anyway, as you heard Lucas say, Mets GM Zach Scott denied comment. Rocker's agent Scott Boris also declined to make a comment. He's 21. He made 42 appearances in college, 39 of them starts. Wow. This is all we saw that guy do mostly in his career was just dominate. This is crazy stuff.
Well, until they got into the World Series, here's what I'll say. With no knowledge of anything, don't they do pre-draft physicals before the actual draft? So, and I don't think he was out there throwing gas heat during that time in between. If I was making a guess, it would be like, just kind of keep your arm loose and warm and do all the stretching and all those things you need to do. Keep your arm fresh. I'm sure he knows how to manage all through that. That is horrific to me. I'm hoping that that's just, I don't know if I want to say it's a negotiation ploy to get that down, maybe because somebody said you should have done that. And then now they're trying to go back on it and using this. Because I don't want anything wrong with his elbow, to be honest. I just don't want to believe it, but it could be. It happens all the time. So I'm just wondering, they just found it when they gave him another physical when he was about to sign his contract. Hey, man, that just sounds fishy to me by the front office. That's weird. But, you know, things have happened before where guys have gotten injured in between getting drafted and pre-draft and then now getting a physical for the actual team before he signed the contract. So I just don't want it to be true because he seemed like such a great kid and fell in the draft and really got into a team where he can go in and contribute and participate, show why everybody passed on him. So I was waiting to see all of that, but I don't know here. And I really don't want him to come back to Vanderbilt. I want him to stay in the league. So I don't know if that's even an option if they don't agree on take less in his signing bonus, which I don't know what they mean by that. Like, okay, do you going to drop it down to $3 million instead of six?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you mean? Like, am I taking five instead of six? Because this is sketchy here. You may or may not need surgery. We have to wait till the season starts to really see when you let your arm loose and let it go. Oh, man, but you got to do what you got to do.
This says, again, this article from the New York Post, this says Jack Ramsey of the USA Today Mets Network first reported a medical issue regarding Rocker, who underwent his examination with the Mets last week. It doesn't mention any, like the NFL, where you go to the combine and you get poked and prodded by doctors, right, and everybody gets the results. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mention that at all. It does say this. He made 42 appearances in college, 39 of them starts without missing any time. Then it adds this in this article from the New York Post. Rocker didn't participate in Major League Baseball's voluntary MRI program, which the top 50 pitching prospects are asked to undergo an MRI prior to the draft. Says he didn't do that. His agent, Scott Boras, has his own team of medical experts evaluate all of his players. And it says Boras has proactively alerted clubs of potential physical issues, just like it says when the Mets selected his client, Matt Allen, in the third round of the 2019 amateur draft. He had undergone Tommy John surgery. It says no such alert occurred with Rocker. That's the whole story. And we'll certainly look for more
details.
There was
no issue, according to Boras and his physical, you know, the people that he put it to. Okay. Well, yep. Yeah, then that, even though he didn't be part of that, I mean, this Boras, who's one of the biggest agents, if not the biggest in baseball, put him through his own team, which yep. He's done through every player that he represents coming out, and they have no issue with it. And so, yeah, it's always interesting when all this stuff happens. But they agreed to terms, though, but now all of a sudden they see something wrong.
Right.
Yeah, well, you never know. But if I was him, if that is true, I'm hoping it's not. But if it is, I'd just get the elbow fixed and I wouldn't go back to college. I'd go and get my elbow ready to rock and roll for the majors, and then just sign a depleted contract and just kind of move on, really. Because if you play and then you get hurt, then you're rehabbing anyway in college.
Yeah.
Why not already be in the league or minors or wherever you may be to see if it is true or if something will eventually happen that they're not comfortable with. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, man, but I'm hoping, praying for him and his family that he can manage through it. You know, a lot of people get the Tommy John surgery now. It's kind of interesting, Mickey, that they get the Tommy John surgery to, they feel like they can help them throw faster and better. And they have more control of the baseball, which is uncanny for somebody to say, yeah, I want to get the Tommy John surgery so I can.
Elective. Yeah.
I'm like, what?
No.
When I first heard that like years ago, I was like, what? Yeah. Yeah. Kids are doing it right in high school. Huh?
Come on now.
Oh, elbow. No, I don't want nobody touching my elbow.
No. And for people who don't know, how many surgeries have you had?
11.
Okay. So this is somebody who's had a bunch of surgeries.
I never had any before I got into the league, besides I had my tonsils taken out. So that all happened when I got into the league. And it says, you're doing something to your body that you have never done before. And I said, I'm taking care of my body better than I've ever done before. And it could take its toll. So, and the way he throws, he overpowers people at the plate. So, dang, this is I couldn't wait to watch him throw it in the majors.
And I thought he was going to borrow a phrase from Blaine Bishop. I figured he's going to be pissed off for greatness. He's going to get there fast, and he's going to just gun people down with that arm of his. So, he and Leiter were so much fun to watch in college, both of them. It's just like and those Tennessee players too that got drafted. We see these guys play and we think, I cannot wait to see what these guys can do on the next level. This was two top 10 picks. This guy goes in the top 10. Now we're hearing about this. If he feels like he's getting, and I'll go with your word again, bamboozled, that dude's going to be PO'd. Like, okay, I'm about to show everybody. Just stick this in front of me.
What Boras says, you know, what his agent's response is to this. Somewhere maybe it's in the middle. Maybe he was being a little coy in, you know, in the physical information. I don't know how this works. So we shall see, but hoping for him. Good kid. Hope for the best for him.
No doubt. We'll keep an eye on this situation. Like we said, we just saw this story just coming out of New York. So we wanted to share it because we know he's got fans and we're fans too. We want to see the guy do well and play well. So we'll keep monitoring this. We come back, we'll monitor things with Coach Matt because he said to join us to talk all things Titans. as training camp is underway. Explain to Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You hear that music, it only means one thing. The return of Dave McGinnis, the return of the Mac, Coach Mac, who joined us courtesy of our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage and affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They have got you covered, just like Coach Mac has us covered with Titans Talk each and every Tuesday. Coach, we're talking about this during the break. I've said this before. I'm all in on the Olympics. I love everything about it, the pressure, the pageantry. These people are just unbelievable athletes. They spend their whole life training to swim for 57 seconds in front of the world. I just love all of it. You were telling us you're a big Olympics guy, too. I love that.
No, I like that. I mean, the competition is absolutely tremendous to watch. And then, I mean, I love the backstories, too, you know, because a lot of these competitors are just kids. I mean, they really are. And what they have to do and how much they have to train. And when you know all of it and you watch it, you appreciate that because you appreciate the work that goes into it. You know, being involved in professional sports for 35 years, you know, on the inside of it, I know what it takes. And just for what they do, I love watching it. And I mean, there truly is. And you remember when the old ABC Sports used to come on, talk about the agony and the ecstasy of the competition. I mean, you can see it and it's real.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We're about to have some real competition at Titans training camp. It has opened up officially. Mike Vrabel has even spoken. I wanted to ask you this because you went to 30 plus of these things as an NFL coach, some as a head coach, some as an assistant, some as a coordinator. How was training camp for you? Was it like opening presents on Christmas? You couldn't wait to get started. Did it feel more like a necessary evil? Or where did that fall for you, a guy who loves football and it's your whole life?
Well, I mean, the thing that coaches love about coaching is being with the players. I mean, that's the important part is being with the players. And when you're not with the players, you're really not a coach, you know. And so once you get your players there, and every year's different. And you know, as a coach, as a professional coach, I mean, I was involved with Hall of Famers. I was involved with free agents that made it. I just love being able to work with players, you know, help them improve, and then, you know, watching them enjoy their success and then the team success. So, you know, it was all about being with the players for me and then trying to get the team together. Because if you really talk to coaches that have, you know, coaching is their life, well, they'll tell you the best part of coaching is being with the players.
Well, we love being with Coach Mac, who joins us now and every Tuesday, courtesy of our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Well, Coach, you were talking about the Olympics, and I have to ask you because, okay, you know, of all the sports, what happened to Simone Biles there, and I'm going to call it a mental burnout. Have you ever dealt with an athlete with mental burnout, and how did you handle it if you did?
No, I absolutely have. I absolutely have in this league, you know, and a lot of it would happen. I mean, a lot of it would happen, Blaine, with first and second year players, first year players, because they didn't understand the real mental grind that the National Football League is. Mm-hmm. And then some second year players that weren't quite making the development they thought they would make in that jump from the first to the second year. I mean, and I think it's very important, you know, to get to know your players, because, you know, everybody just looks at players on the field, but players, you know, are human beings that have lives and that have a lot of factors that affect them, you know, on the field. And so, yes, my answer to that is yes. And I could give you some names that I won't, that you would recognize pretty easily. But the fact, and, you know, we talked about what I enjoyed about coaching. What I really enjoyed about coaching was developing the trust with those players that they were willing to come with to me and share those types of things, you know, and especially, you know, when I was an assistant coach, it was really big when I was an assistant head coach, because then I could be involved with all of them. And even as a head coach, you know, because as you well know, Blaine, I mean, professional athletes, a lot of times are very, very hesitant to ask for help, you know, in some of those areas, which are very real. And so the answer to your question is yes. And I understand exactly. I mean, when you watch that, and I watched her, when you watched just her body language, you know, after some of her performances, you could tell, because I mean, she's the best in the world, but you could just kind of tell that there was something that was really bothering her, you know. And you could just, you can see, I mean, if you've been around athletes long enough, which you and I have, I mean, even during a ball game, even now broadcasting the game, you know, when I'm watching, if the Titans are really starting to get to somebody. All you got to do is look at body language on the sideline of the opponent team. You know it. You've recognized it when you were a player. You could recognize it even before it physically started happening if you knew that somebody else was going, wow, this is not working out really good for me, just by their body language. And so, you know, I understand it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I completely agree with that, Coach Mack. And I think it's, you know, happens more often than people think, because they think, you know, all the athletes are not really actually human. And the human element is there. So, yeah, that was some great comments there. I wanted to ask you just more on the personal level. You've been in Tennessee for a while. You're a Texas guy. You know, what is the weather difference between Tennessee and Texas during training camp? Because I'm going to tell you one thing. I thought I was going to die at Trinity in San Antonio. I thought I wasn't going to make it. I was losing weight so fast, I was right on my weight chart.
Well, first of all, I mean, you had training camp. Here's the deal. Texas is different. You got different geographical regions of the country. West Texas, all right, it's hot, but you don't have the humidity. You get down into East Texas or South Texas, down around the coast, or East Texas, where I've got a place on that Louisiana border. I mean, you're breathing mayonnaise in the summer. Okay. it is air that you can wear, you know. That's the difference.
It really is the difference. That you can wear.
It's air you can wear. And that's the same thing here. That's what goes on here. You know, once you get the rain that sits and all of a sudden the heat dome hits. Look, I was in Phoenix for 8 years, too. I know what, you know, they say that's a dry heat. That's a different type of thing, too. I mean, stick your head in an oven. That's dry heat, too. So, I mean, they're all different regions. But Texas has so many different geographical regions that you have some of this, you know, air you can wear in the summer down there at different places. You just so happen to be in two of them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Texas, I'm glad you just made me think of a question. Texas and Oklahoma talking about coming to the SEC. Man, I know you watch ball all day long. What are your thoughts on that?
Inevitable. They're not just talking about it. They're done. They're going. And you're going to see that. And this is all, look, collegiate football, the NCAA, as far as their reach on football, is zero right now. Okay, it's Power Five conferences. It's television contracts. I mean, all of that. And plus, guys, let's just be honest. This whole name, image, likeness thing has changed the landscape too. I mean, you know, 40% of your NCAA office is involved with eligibility, and it's involved with amateurism. Well, those aren't jobs anymore. You know, those jobs don't exist anymore. And so, to me, it was inevitable. And if I'm a coach or if I'm a player now with this is what it's going to come to. Some of these others, like those Big 12 schools that are left, they're going to have to make some real decisions. Are they going to are they going to hold together and try to bring people in? Or are they going to try to fracture and go some other places? But Texas and Oklahoma are national brands. They bring national brands to the Southeastern Conference, which is already the most powerful conference. It was inevitable. I think it's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be good. Hey, it's just the landscape we're living in right now. But as I said, it's a different world in the NCAA now than it was when you and I were playing in it, I promise you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are with Coach Mack, bringing the heat all the way from Texas and Tennessee, of course, naturally. Coach Mack.
Coach, obviously, and let's stay on this for a second, because you're following football at all levels. You have friends at all levels who are coaches and administrators, because that's just the relationships you've been building. How about these TCU Frogs? Obviously, they're affected by this when their fellow conference mates leave. What do you hope or do you have any kind of vision maybe for what might happen with them in whatever the next landscape of college football is?
Well, you know, TCU lived through this once when the Southwest Conference disbanded.
Yeah,
you know, TCU lived through this once, and they had to go to the Mountain West. And then, I mean, they made a decision at that time. I know the people involved because I was involved in it. They said, hey, look, wherever we go, we're going to be the best. So they poured money into it, you know, hired Gary Patterson, and they became the best. And all of a sudden, you know, then now, I mean, they're a decent Big 12 team. But the Big 12 guys, those teams without Texas and Oklahoma, they're not generating the television revenue. Let's just be real honest. You know, so, I mean, TCU has poured a huge amount of money in the last 25 years into that program, has built it up immensely. I mean, improvements. I mean, it's a tremendous place, but the reality of it is that the money, as far as the television contracts, which is the lifeblood of any of those programs, is not the same. You know, the Southeastern Conference is the king, and they're going to become even more of the king now.
Coach Mack is the king of talking football with us every Tuesday. We love it. Let's get back to Titans training camp. I wanted to ask you this. How important to you as a coach was it? So guys get there and they get weighed and they take their fitness test, whatever they do. How quickly did you want to know what they had retained that you had been teaching them before they went away for those months? How quick did you want to see, okay, I want to see what you know?
Well, attention, retention, and execution are the whole thing. So that's extremely important. I mean, it is. I mean, it really is. And because here's what you want to do. And all clubs do this. You know, they have their install during OTAs. They have their installs during, you know, all the way through the off-season program. And then you restart your install, you know, when you come in, but you speed it up a little bit, because what you would like to have is a major point of retention. And of course, you know, different levels as to where players are, it's going to be different, but the retention part of it allows you to accelerate some of the things you want to start adding and putting in and working on as you get forward and working toward the first, you know, regular season ball game. So retention is huge. That time when you leave from OTAs and the mandatory minicamp to the time you come back, what you do mentally and also physically on your own is a really big time. It's an important time, because when you leave, you're in good condition and you mentally know what's going on. So those guys that have managed to manage not only to maintain, but to even add on to what they did in those 5 weeks, that's important.
Well, and I'm even talking about, like you were saying, the install, the classroom stuff. And I imagine it didn't take long to figure out who'd been studying and who hadn't while they were away.
Well, now see, the thing that you can do, though, you can keep in touch with people, especially right. Nowadays, just doing like what we're doing on Zoom, you know, that we didn't have, you know. Now what I would do is I would make tapes for all of my guys before they left and have things where they could, you know, watch and then, you know, would send them notes, you know, not to bother them, but say, okay, look, I'll send you a note, you know, every week, you know, just to see if you've got any questions, what's going on, you know, those types of things you can do. You can even do more of that now. And so it's absolutely, but guys, players need a chance to refresh too. I mean, you're going to be around them for quite a while. And as much as they love you, they need to be away from you for a while too. Just like as much as you love them, you need to be away from them for a while too, because you live in real close proximity now for 18 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Mack joins Blaine and Mickey to talk Titans football and more.
Yeah, Coach, I guess I have to ask you, you know, on both sides of the ball, on offense and defense, who do you see as the starters, assuming who or they'd be the starters? Who do you think is going to have a kind of a really big year? You know, they're going to have an outstanding year, whether they be with the team the next year or not. Who do you think is primed to have, you know, a big year?
Well, I mean, that's hard to answer right now, but I do know this, that, I mean, I just because of what happened, like, I expect Jayon Brown, you know, to come back and really do something, because I think – Jayon was on his way to really having a nice season last year and then broke that elbow against Baltimore. I think he was so highly devastated and disappointed in that, because you could just start seeing that he was coming along. You know, and I expect him to do that. And I'm excited to watch and see now what Imani Hooker is going to be able to do now that he's going to be the starting safety. You know, and he and Byard paired back there together. That whole secondary to me, Blaine, that's close to your heart, is going to be interesting to watch, because you know as well as I do, the first thing that you have to be able to do as in secondary to be successful, and you know, you're talking about five or six guys now, not just four, because it takes five or six now with all the altered offenses that you're playing against. You got to have some cohesion back there.
Yep.
I mean, you really do. You got to have some cohesion, and I'm really interested to see how that starts to piece itself together going forward, not the first day, but see how it works going forward to getting ready to play Arizona.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Then how does the first rounder, which I think really will turn the table on how good the secondary actually can get to with pass rush, always with the secondary.
Sure.
Caleb Farley, and how quickly he can get on the field. And I'm hoping sooner than later, whether it be, you know, maybe in a couple weeks, that way we get to see him get some of the rust off after training camp or preseason. So I'm interested to see how you know, Mike Vrabel and staff, you know, as far as the training staff, you know, kind of gradually, you know, get guys back in off of PUP and how much they get involved sooner than later? And do you push, you know, push the envelope a little bit, or do you pull them back? And when is the time to push? That's always interesting, the calculations of the coaches and the training staff with the players, because all the players feel like, oh, I can play, I can go right now.
Well, and that's a good point. And the first thing you have to do as a coach and as a medical staff, you've got to protect the player from himself. Mm-hmm. Because here's what players want to do. They want to play. You know, players want to play. And so you have to be able, that has to be a real, you know, symbiotic relationship, you know, between those three entities as to when you can be ready to play. Mike Vrabel and Todd Torcelli. I mean, I've been around those guys. I've seen what they've done with players, you know, and bringing them back. They don't rush people back. They bring them back when they think they are ready to come back. Now, when you come back, are you ready to come back 100%? You never are until you get out there and start continuously working. You know that. You've been through it. I mean, again, I'm not saying anything to violate HIPAA laws, but you had a few surgeries in your career. And so you know what it's like coming back from one of those things. And you know yourself when you can get out there and the things that you can start to do. So, but for a player, you know, we talked about Farley. I mean, he's not a veteran player yet. So you need to help him. You need to help him with that mindset. But, you know, I mean, he feels the pressure of being the number one draft pick. And he wants to get out there, but you have to reach a relationship as to where you say, this is what we're doing. This is best for you. You be honest with us. And so when you get out there, that you don't suffer any type of setback, that you're able to progress once you get out there.
Take all our listeners, Coach Mac, give them the Mac attack of what you would say to the team first time you sit down in the auditorium and getting ready to go to training camp. What is you? What are you focusing on? What are you talking about?
Don't take anything for granted as to what happened last year, because it has no bearing on this year. Mm. Zero. We've got a new team in here, and we've got a new team. Our base fundamentals and our base philosophy is going to be the same, but you guys in this room are going to determine what kind of team you have. It's your team. Myself and the coaches, we are here to help you. But if this team is going to be where we want to go, it has to be your team. And when I say your team, it has to be your team daily. It has to be your team daily. And some of you veterans in this room that know where we've got to, that it wasn't as far as we wanted to get to, you need to help these younger guys understand what it takes to get to the points throughout this. But I always started saying, guys, I am here to facilitate and help you, but this is your football team.
Yeah, well said there by Coach Mac, giving us the Mac attack. And, man, I love that because, you know, looking from the outside, looking in, you know, most of the fans, you know, they're like, oh, man, they got almost the same players on offense. They're going to do the same thing they did last season. Press the Mac attack brakes, because he goes, no can do. He's just said it all right there. This is a new team, new year. You have to build that chemistry and everything. It doesn't come back with a snap of a finger.
Right, absolutely right. And I think you can speak to this even better than I can, because we've both been at it a long time, but you did it from an accomplished player's viewpoint. You give players ownership, that's when you start to be a good team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach Mac, preach it to us. Nikki?
I'm fired the heck up now. I feel like we need to just hang up with Coach Mac, go run through a brick wall, and then we'll finish the last 7 minutes of the show. Coach, thank you. We're excited. Can't wait to see you out there. I'm going to be delayed a little bit because I just got my second shot, so I got a few days before I can come out. But I look forward to standing next to you and asking you a million questions, just like I always do.
Well, hopefully I can answer them, Mickey. And, Mickey, look, I'm glad that you liked the little talk we had, but just like what Blaine and I were talking about, where you got to protect the players from themselves, I would never ask you to run through a brick wall the first day. We might be able to run through a brick wall.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it, man.
Guys.
The one and only Coach Mac. All right, Mike Vrabel. Blaine has been bringing this up all year. What about the kickers? You got two guys with no experience. I mean, we got my man Brett Kern, who's all world. I know we got a snapper that they like. I know all that's going on. What about the kickers? Mike Vrabel talked about the kickers. We will hear what Vrabel said about kickers next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel on the kickers in just a second. He spoke, started off training camp today. He looked relaxed. He was tanned. I mean, he just looked. He was happy to see everybody. It was a real nice time for everybody who were there live as well as on Zoom.
But you were talking about the kickers real quick. I'm going to talk about the punter. And, you know, I'm a big Kern guy, but he can become part of a record this season. He can become the fourth player in franchise history to play 13 seasons with the organization. Naturally, Bruce Matthews, the legend, Mr. Matthews, and then Evan Bethea and Brad Hopkins, a guy that came out with me, the first round pick, played 13 seasons, and this will be Brett Kern's 13th season. Man, that's an incredible feat, let alone he's getting better with age, man. I think he didn't figure this whole pun thing out, man. The last 3 years, he's been – some of those look like, man, you got a bionic leg. Like, I mean, there was a couple. He had, like, 60-yarders. I mean, that thing shot out of a cannon. I thought it was that same machine that Tom Brady was throwing into. Yeah.
The jug machine.
Yeah, the jug machine. It was the same one. He was using the same one, except it came off his foot. That thing was like a missile. Like, wow. So, man, hats off to him and congratulations. Wow, that's pretty cool.
All right, I'm the one who's supposed to drop random stats on this show. You are taking my job, literally. You will be doing this by yourself if you don't stop that. Quote Blaine Bishop, stop that.
I know.
No, man, I like it. Think about this. Any position on a team, and think about the Titans like to run the ball. I mean, they scored 31 points a game, but there's been a lot of years where they didn't score 31 points a game. And how important it was when you're up 17-14 in the fourth quarter and you have a drive that dies on your own 11. And you just look at Brett Kern and are like, okay, man, go save us.
Yep.
And every time he does it.
Every time.
Yeah, 13 years of no worries. Yeah. Here you go, Kern.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, every time, you know, now and then, you know, he may have a shank. You go, oh, that's okay. He didn't kick so many good and saved us. You know, it's not like it didn't go, you know, it just went, didn't go as far as normal. I was 38. I'm like, oh, well, that really not a shank. It's still, they didn't return it. I mean, so he's doing a heck of a job, man. The best in the business, as we've seen going to the Pro Bowl all these last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, almost like a couple of years ago, like they all went inside the 10-yard line. It was something stupid like that. Like
it was crazy.
It's just crazy. Well, he is, man, 13 years. And they got that guy off of waivers from the Broncos. Yeah. And he's told the story. We need to get his butt back on. He gets cut by the Broncos. He was out kicking his coverage up there in that thin air. He goes to play golf, gets a phone call, and I'm paraphrasing. He may be listening. He could clue me in on the particulars. But basically they said, can you get on a plane and get to Tennessee? And here comes that rascal to Tennessee. Takes over for the amazing Craig Hendrick. I mean, this team's basically had two punters for the whole time they've been here.
Yeah.
Since 97, they've had two punters. It's 2021, other than a few games here or there. Two people have been the main punters for this organization. That's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, that's cool, man.
Done it
better than me. I wouldn't have lasted 13 seasons.
Well, here's the thing Kern's got to do, too, is he's got some young place kickers that he's got to mentor. And Blaine Bishop's been talking about the kicking situation. Well, today Mike Vrabel got asked about the kicking situation, and here's what he said.
Well, we'll work with those guys right now and see where it goes. You know, we're comfortable and positive that those guys are going to go out, compete, give Tucker an opportunity. You know, he wasn't available to us last year. He was really impressive. As we worked our way through training camp and then got injured. And so, you know, I think it's, and so does John, obviously, the right thing to do to let those guys compete. And then if, like any other position, if we have to bring guys in, we can do that.
Is Gostkowski a potential option down the road?
Until he retires, I would imagine that anybody would be a potential, you know, but I don't know. I think he lives down the street, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think he lives. You know where he lives, Mike Vrabel. You're a Patriot.
That's what I was saying earlier today. There's no way he doesn't know. No way he doesn't know Gostkowski's address.
little tricky rascal, Mike Vrabel. I don't know, man. Somebody told me he lives around here. Really?
Yeah, I think he lives down the street. Well, you know what? He has a security blanket. That always work out that way, that, you know, you're going to get the, you know, if it doesn't work out for the youngsters or somebody gets injured, they still have to agree to a contract.
Yeah.
So, you know, that there's still that, but there's trust and knowing each other, being teammates and everything else. Absolutely. He has a, you know, and if hopefully the young players, you know, grow up and stay healthy and do a good job, whichever one it is. And, they feel comfortable, obviously, going to training camp. That way they get all the reps and they get better. You know, Gronkowski, he can do it from afar and still be the same guy that he is. So, yeah, I think, but, man, that makes me nervous. Just kickers, and especially young kickers, man, because you just don't know. They can look absolutely awesome in training camp and preseason. And you get out there in that first game and all of a sudden – you have one shank and it gets in their head. And I mean, they can't rebound. They have to almost like go to another team unless he gets another kick the next time. And he makes it right through the uprights. Then it's all, you know, he's back to normal. Cause you know, sometimes you just have a, you know, bad swing and you know, this happens. But yeah, man, I would have direct dial on the sideline on my pocket on my phone if I would have a phone in there on my headphone to say call him right now, tell him hurry up and get here.
Just tell him to bring his sock in case he needs it. Hey, we didn't shank the show today. We got through Tuesday. Time to hand it off to 3HL. We'll be back at it tomorrow, of course, talking Titans first day of practice.
Yeah, no doubt. And as always, happy Tuesday and peace.